Let's go to the line now and bring in not only one of the voices of the Big Ten, but now the new play-by-play voice of the Atlanta Braves, well-deserved Brandon Gowden. Brandon, as I said to you last week at Ohio State, congratulations.
Thanks, my friend. I always appreciate it, and good to see you. Tracking you guys closely, obviously. Frustrating loss, I know, against Rutgers. And I'm sure we'll get into some of that bubble discussion, but it's that time of year.
Yeah, it is that time of year. You had Northwestern Maryland yesterday?
Yeah, and that was a game where senior day, you know, those things go one of two ways. Sometimes teams come out flat. There's too much energy. They're too amped up, and they can't throw in the ocean. Well, Maryland was the exact opposite. They could not miss. It was their best shooting performance of the season, and I really don't think there was any team in the Big Ten that was going to go in there the way that Maryland played yesterday and beat them. So Northwestern just ran into a buzzsaw.
I thought you made an interesting comment yesterday that in talking with the Northwestern people, or at least maybe it was a sense, that for the first time in the history of the program, they're sitting in February, they're in.
Yep. Right?
And that maybe has relaxed them in a lot of ways in terms of maybe attitude, looseness. Is that how you viewed them?
100%. Yeah, Chris Collins said that. They're not, you know, now it's just all about seeding. They're in. They can't play themselves out at this point at 20-9 and 11-7 with some of the wins that they have. And when they made their only other tournament appearance in 2016-17, they kind of sensed that they were in the last couple of games, but they weren't able to breathe with the ease that they are right now. And plus, they know that they've been in the tournament before, even though it's only once, and now to have that berth secured, I think Chris Collins just feels like they're playing with house money a little bit, and you've been able to see that. In the first half yesterday, Maryland played unbelievable, and Northwestern was right there with them, just playing loose and making shots. And they just seem to be playing so much freer than they have in years past. And look, when they lost, who they lost, and Pete Nance and Ryan Young, story's been told many times this year, nothing was expected of them. And so now I think that they've kind of just taken this underdog mentality, and they've been riding it all season, and it's been a pretty good wave to ride for them here all the way as they'll go into the NCAA tournament.
What has Chris Lowry, the addition to the staff of Chris Lowry, meant to Chris Collins and Northwestern?
Oh, it's huge. I mean, that defense, it's just night and day. And look, you don't want to say that the players and the buy-in and Collins had nothing to do with it. Obviously they do. They're all part of the same system here. But Coach Lowry, who has head coaching experience in his background, was a good head coach at Southern Illinois and then long time at K-State under Bruce Weber. He's got a good pedigree. Defense has always been in his DNA. And here's a random fact for you, Steve. He went to my high school, Evansville Harrison High School, so that's even more reason to like Chris Lowry. but no, in all seriousness, he has been tremendous, and their defense has been as good as I've seen a Northwestern defense in my time covering the Big Ten. It's been fun to watch.
Well, if he's from that high school, he's got to be, come on.
Well, so Steve, here there's one other Big Ten legend. I'm not a Big Ten legend, by the way. But the other one that went to Evansville Harrison High School, Calbert Chaney, of course, the Indiana
guy. All-time,
so there you go.
All-time leading scorer in the history of the Big Ten.
Yep. And so I did not break his record when I came along in Harrison. Don't worry.
Okay. I'm going to look that one up. I just want to, because you do not like to brag. So I'm going to look it up myself. But obviously, you keep a close eye on Micah Shrewsbury because the two of you go back a long way, back to your time at Butler. Obviously, yesterday was a tough day for Penn State, and let's give Rutgers credit. They fought their way and clawed their way back in and won the game. But when you look at a Micah coach team, and now you've had a chance to see him as a head coach in this spot, what have been your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, I think he's great. The thing that there was a time where I didn't know if he would ever get a head coaching opportunity. And you may say, well, what do you mean? He's only 46, 45 last year when he got the job. But there's some of those guys that become such good assistants and they don't. They're the guys that some people say, oh, they're not going to win the press conference. They're always going to be the assistant, never the head coach. So I was just thrilled for Micah when he got the job because being around him and knowing how much Brad Stevens relied on him for X's and O's and game prep, if Brad Stevens is going to think that highly of somebody, that they think that they're that good, then they can be a head coach. And I think what you see with Micah is he's just incredibly smart. We talk a lot during the broadcast about the plays that he draws up in key situations. But it's more than that. I just think he has a feel for the guys. He was always a great recruiter. Players just really always gravitate to Micah and like playing for him, and I think that there's a lot to be said for that. I know, I get it. Penn State fans, it's been, here we go again. You know, I understand. They kind of feel like they went through this and they've gone through this many seasons where they're close, but they can't quite get over the hump. And I'm sure a lot of the fan base is saying, well, here we are again. We're right there, got a chance at a bid, but we're stumbling a little bit down the stretch, and we might get left out. And I know as of today, they're either just in or just out, depending on which bracketologist you look at. But I would hope that that fan base says this is year two of Micah being there. And with what they've been able to piece together, I think it's pretty impressive. I do. And I'm a supporter of him. And I'm hoping that this team can get a couple of wins here late and get into the NCAA tournament. But even if that would not happen, I think you've got to look at this as it's year two, and they've got a really good recruiting class coming in next year, that the program truly is trending in the right direction.
Gee, I've done this job for 41 years. I never noticed the fans feeling that way.
Yeah. Preaching to the choir a little bit, huh?
I never noticed. Oh, my goodness. Because I think Jerry Palm has them at 38, which is, 36 teams get in, so he's got them two out right now. That was the last one I saw. I'm going to talk to Joe Lenardi later today, see what Joe has to say. But, when you look at, obviously, Jalen Pickett, right? You had a chance to watch him last week where he scored 21 second-half points. Rutgers did a good job. He did not get a shot off in yesterday's second half. But when you've watched this stretch run by him, what have you thought? Because you see everybody along the way.
Yeah, and look, I don't cover the SEC, and I don't cover the ACC, and I don't cover the Pac-12. I see Big East and Big Ten every week. Yeah. For my money in those conferences, and it would be hard-pressed to convince me that there'd be somebody else in the country that I'm about to say this about, most underrated player. And we get why he's underappreciated, and it's not fair. It's because he plays for Penn State, and it's just not seen as a high-power basketball school, and they don't get the national attention that they deserve. But, it's just silly to think that a guy like him is in the top 10 in the conference in all three major categories, points, rebounds, and assists. Only guy that can say that. He's obviously top five in the country in assists. I mean, he does so many things, and he does it with such coolness. I mean, he never is sped up. He always gets to a spot in the post and either somehow scores or distributes. It never even looks like he's breaking a sweat out there. He's just such a joy to watch. And above all that, you talk to Mike, and of course, Steve, you know this. You're around him all the time. I'm not. He's a good guy. Just a guy that you want in your corner, a guy that you want help leading your program. Just an exemplary kid. And so I hope, especially for Lundy and the other guys too, but for Jalen Pickett, I hope there's a tournament run here at the end of this and a chance to play in the big dance because he deserves it.
One last one. You live in the Atlanta area. Through a series of circumstances, you end up being the TV voice of the Braves. What is this moment like for you personally?
Boy, it's been a whirlwind the last couple of weeks. I grew up, as I mentioned, in southern Indiana, and people always were confused as to why I was a Braves fan. Well, Steve, you remember the Braves were on TBS throughout the 90s every day.
That's right.
I mean, every day. So yeah. I fell in love with Braves baseball, and I started playing baseball, imaginary games in my foyer, and I would run the bases. The bases were pillows, or the outfield fence was the couch in my living room there, and I would announce the games as if I was Skip Carey on TBS or the Atlanta Braves. And so you think about that being your dream job at age 7, 8, 9, 10, and then you fast forward now 39 and able to get this job in a town that I've been living in for a decade. It seems almost too good to be true. So it's just an opportunity. Look, I've been blessed. I've had so far some wonderful things come my way, and this is another one of those opportunities that I'm just grateful for. And hard to believe we'll be going here in, gosh, 32 days, I think, is opening day, so it won't be too long.
And it doesn't interfere with your other work. It's going to be about 100. I mean, Brandon and I already talked about this stuff, so it just doesn't interfere with. That's why I'm not going to sit here and pretend I've got this mystical. Okay, Brandon and I talked last Thursday about this, but it doesn't interfere with the other stuff. It fits seamlessly into what you're doing, and I think this is so good for you.
Well, thanks. Yeah, I mean, football, the only month that's really affected is September, and I'm trying to work through that now and see what that means. But everything else is good, and, growing up in Indiana, I loved hoops. I mean, we were just always around basketball. I played it growing up. So to be able to keep the basketball schedule like I am able to, that makes it just a win-win.
Well, it's a win-win for a lot of people because, you know what? I always love when really talented people are really great people. That's you, and I'm thrilled for you, so congratulations.
Thanks so much, Steve. I really appreciate it, my friend, and look forward to seeing you in Chicago for the Big Ten tournament.